Another thing that we do is a supernatural experience. When I was 11 years old, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit for 6 hours. It's a powerful, powerful time. But that wasn't proof that God loves me.
That's good.
There's some people who are that they're looking for a certain spiritual experience or comparing themselves to someone else.
Amen.
In order to know that they're loved.
Good word.
We get in a line and we receive prayer. Oh God, you're going to reject me again. I'm not going to feel anything. I thought you loved me. What's happening? We're putting his love on trial.
That's a good word, man. Good word.
How are we supposed to represent love if we come in as an orphan when we receive prayer? Let me just say it this way. We don't record. If you're familiar with people receiving prayer, the power of God touching people, we don't have any record of Jesus falling down, shaking, receiving them, any kind of fire or electricity running through his body or some of the other things that we see when we pray for people. We just have a record of Holy Spirit descending on Jesus as a dove. And he did okay. Jesus never fell down, shook, shake, baked, whatever kind of stuff. And he did all right.
Amen.
The demonstration of God's love for you is not if you shake, bake, rattle, or roll.
Iron Man.
The demonstration that you're loved is that Jesus came.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you. We've got to get this thing. Let me say it this way. When I was born, I had an incurable blood disease. But that wasn't proof that God didn't love me.
Right. Come on.
It's good.
Come on.
I grew up in an environment that was really poor. It was down in Georgia. And the place that I grew up at, the trailer I was in was older than my family. Turned on the lights and roaches went running. It was disgusting. It was very, very poor. My mom worked 3 jobs to keep food on the table. People that I grew up around, they were on house arrest or quit school or were kicked out of school. I was quote unquote counseling people who had abortions when they were 13. There was drugs and alcohol, the whole kind of scene that goes with that area. But that's not proof that God doesn't love me.
Amen.
Maybe you came from a really bad background and it was just because you had people around you that had issues. Now, let me just say, okay, I'm going to mess with you for a second. They can correct it later. Here's my opinion. In my opinion, it is Jesus coming that levels the playing field for everybody's potential. And here's what I mean. There are some people that look to find what they're supposed to do for God by looking in their past. How can you know what God wants to do with your life? Well, what have you walked through? What have you gone through? Then here's the issue with that. Is can God use what we've gone through? Absolutely. Yeah. But we've made it into like the 11th commandment.
Yeah, that's a good word.
We've replaced the voice of God with what we've walked through.
Amen.
And I would like to suggest to you, don't allow someone else's failure to be God's voice for you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe they just failed. And Jesus called Matthew. He calls a guy named Levi. Changed his name to Matthew. He was a tax collector. And it does not say, your whole life has prepared you for this moment. Now I'm going to put you in charge of my money because you're used to doing that.
Yeah.
No, he made him an apostolic leader and bring the gospel to the nations. Had nothing to do with where he was at.
Amen.
Maybe you were just around people that had their own problems.
That's right.
And so you don't need to limit your life based off of somebody else's issues.
Amen.
Maybe God wants to do something with your life that's completely unrelated to where you came from. No one would have looked at my life and said, that kid's got potential right there. No one would look at him. I came from a broken home. My mom was married several times, 5 times. My dad was married 3 times. No one would look at that environment and go, look, that kid is going to do great things. But somewhere along the way, by the mercy of God, I found that my value wasn't connected to other people's insecurities, issues, failures, whatever journey that they're on. My mom is a woman of God. I love her, but she went through her own journey. And so we need to take the ceiling off of what can happen in our lives. Some people are waiting for somebody their whole lives to come and give them approval to be alive. Or waiting for their whole life for their dad to come and say, you can do it, I believe in you. My dad died of cancer, I'm not going to get that ever. But I do have Jesus.
Amen.
He's not just a storybook idea, he's real. And when he says you're loved, then you can know that you're loved.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
So that his love is what sets your potential. It's his love that empowers us to live as loved people instead of looking for love in life, which changes everything. Because when I know that I'm loved, then I can love you for you and not for me.
Amen.
Okay, maybe, let me put it this way. What God really wants to do today is he wants to love you to death.
Amen.
Because only when you're loved to death can you really be alive.
Yeah.
In order to get there, you have to understand the really good news I have for you this morning. And that is, God loves you, and it's not your fault. You were created with value. You were created in love, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just give in. Just let yourself, you are lovable. You are wanted. You're alive because God wanted you to be. You're God's dream come true. You're not an accident or a mistake. You're his dream come true. And when you know who you are to him, you become the enemy's worst nightmare. Because what the world needs to experience, what real evangelism comes from, are from people that are in love. Let me deal with worship for a minute. You guys okay?
Yes.
There are sometimes we believe that our greatest invitation is to worship God. I get it. I'm married to a worship leader. I get it. I have great value for worship. Let me tell you my suggestion on this. You're free to disagree with me, but I think I'm right. Aren't you glad I'm not trying to tell you something I think I'm wrong about? But anyway. I believe God is worthy of worship from anything, anywhere, anytime. But what makes worship special and meaningful is that my voice matters to him. The greatest invitation that we have from God is to be family. The reason that any kid coming and giving me a hug is a beautiful thing, but when my girls do, it's different. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
God is worthy of worship no matter what, but God's humbled himself to the place where your voice, where your worship, where your affection touches his heart. No one else can replace your voice. No one else can worship God for you. No one else can worship God on your behalf. The reason worship matters so much is not just because he's worthy, but it's because when I worship, he takes it into account. It's meaningful to him. It touches his heart because he created me with value, because it's his idea to be my father. He didn't owe me that. He didn't owe me eternal life. He didn't owe for me to be in his family. He didn't owe to create me with value. He didn't owe me anything. He gave it all. I'm his idea, and me being in his family is his idea. He could have created me in order for me just to serve him, but he said, I've got something better than that. I want you to be in my family. I want you.
Amen.
You see, this is why Jesus came. You ask the average person, I did this a couple of days ago, why do you think Jesus came? Because I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. I was on the phone with somebody just a couple of days ago. I said, yeah, that's pretty common. I would like to suggest to you, pretty common understanding, I'd like to suggest to you that Jesus came because he couldn't live without you. When he thought about what it would take to have existence apart from you, he thought you were worth it. God assessed your value at the blood of Jesus. And
Amen.
It's not your fault.
That's right.
The thing about being born into a royal family, you didn't do anything to get there.
That's right.
We're invited into a royal family. So we need to see ourselves that way. because he fought for that. He died for that. He pursued that so you could be in his royal family. You have royalty running through
your
veins, and it's not your fault.
Amen.
It's not related to how a day's going or what somebody else did or anything else. We know all things work together for our good because it's his idea, not because he owes it to us, but because he said it. You don't owe us anything, God, but you do it because you want to. In other words, we know that whatever we go through, he's going to turn this thing because he's in it with us. We don't live just so things can get turned our way. We live so that we can manifest the love of God.
Yes.
He's with us in every moment. When you know that your love, it's not based on if a tire was flat or full, or if it's difficult to get the thing you want or not, that it is based off Jesus coming. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
You are absolutely 100% loved.
Amen.
The demonstration of your love is found in Jesus coming. Let me make an addition to this, that the demonstration of how far away God wants to be from you is the Holy Spirit. If you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says God takes his spirit and joins together with your spirit. You're in the temple of the Holy Spirit, a new creation created in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That God lives in you, in other words. He's in you and has joined himself to you forever. No one's tying his arm around his back and saying, this is what you need to do. He doesn't have sticky notes hanging around heaven trying to remind him to love you and be with you and all those kind of things. The truth is, he's in you because he wants to be there. Let me say it this way. God finds you absolutely irresistible. Man. When you know you're irresistible, it changes how you pray.
Yeah.
When you know your worship isn't just because he's worth it, but because you worship and you know your voice matters, it changes the way you worship. You're not a performer.
You're not
trying to appease a God who's ready to throw you in hell any moment.
Amen.
You're with someone who's absolutely crazy in love with you.
Amen.
He can't get enough of you, so he won't. You're going to have a very, 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 very long time with him. And it's his idea.
Yeah.
He didn't know us that.
It's not my fault.
He could have just said, here is your existence. It goes from here to here. But he said, I want to be with you forever.
Amen. Yes.
You are mine. What would happen if you live like you're loved? Some of the fear that we have in evangelism is because we're trying to perform. When you know that you're loved, you're not a performer anymore.
That's right. That's right. Beautiful. That's it.
You're a lover. It's easy to talk about somebody you love. When you know you're loved, it changes everything. Sometimes when we don't know that we're loved, we try to find friends so that we have friends. Which means we're finding friends for us and not because we actually like people. We just want somebody else in our life. So it's like this old song, it's all about me. Anyway, that's not how it goes. It's supposed to be it's all about you, but the truth is we have to get ourselves out of the way before we can actually minister to somebody else. It's almost like we're standing in front of ourselves as we're trying to minister to somebody on the other side of me. But instead of removing you by telling you how awful you are, what Jesus comes is he removes you by removing who you're never created to be. He loves you to death. You weren't created to be selfish, greedy, self-centered, insecure, fearful, or greedy. You were created to become love. You're created the image of love by love in order to become manifest and be a witness of love.
Amen.
The world needs to experience Christians that know they're loved.
Amen.
Not orphans that are hoping that one day God will tell them if they made it or not.
Right. Amen.
If we're going to be a witness of love, then we have to receive love first.
Amen.
the ultimate demonstration of God's love for us is that Jesus came. The immediate demonstration of God's love is that he sends people into your lives like this incredible couple. And like you guys, God so loved this region, he's sending you into it. He's sending lovers out before him. He's crazy about this community, about this region. And so he's finding people and saying, look in my eyes. They burn for you. Now go and look in other people's eyes and help them see. They're loved. Now there is the ultimate, I'm going to close here in just a minute, the ultimate demonstration of God's love, which is Jesus coming, which is why we can live as loved people, not based off of how we feel or how the day is going. We can always reconnect with the truth is, I'm loved. God found me irresistible. And God, I thank you that you love me and you want me. You fill me with yourself because you want to be there. I thank you that Jesus came as a demonstration of you wanting me. We can stay, keep our hearts connected to that truth. But there's also the active demonstration of God's love. Because if I got married, or I did get married, when I got married, yeah, on our wedding day, if that was the last and only time I said I love you, then we'd have issues. And I have found that some people get so deeply rooted and connected with the idea of the ultimate demonstration of God's love that we cut off active demonstration of God's love. That there is ongoing relationship with God. And we need to hear his voice for ourselves. We need communion with him. We need intimacy with God. We need to spend time in his word with the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time hearing his voice for ourselves, not just anchoring our lives on the truth that is good and is true and is powerful, but we need to hear, we need an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that the Lord did this in my life is took me to a verse in the book of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And anyone who opens the door, I'll come in. And the King James is what the Lord brought me to, King James Version of the Bible. And it said, open the door and I will sup with him.
Amen.
And I just like the word sup.
Sup.
Sup, Jesus. The Lord took those three letters and put them into something for me. The S-U-P is a demonstration. Jesus was coming in, come into my heart. He was coming to give an active relationship with someone. He's talking to a Christian. If you open up your heart, I'll come in deeper into you. I'll sup with you. I'll fellowship. I'll be with you. And so with that in mind, the active relationship, S stands for this, is that when you're in love with someone and someone's in love with you, then how you know that you're loved and cared for by you is that they see you, right? And that person actually sees the real you. They notice you. They pay attention to you. If somebody doesn't see you, they don't pay attention to you, or they're not really open to knowing who you really are beyond you, whatever kind of stuff you may put on in an environment that you need to put it on for, then that person probably doesn't really love you, right? If they don't actually see you. Yeah. Another thing is you, which is a made-up word, and that's unabandoned. When you love someone, you want to be with them. That's why Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because he loves you, he wants to be with you. That's why the Holy Spirit's in you. And P is privileged. See, you have, when you're in a relationship with somebody that loves you, then you have a privileged spot in their lives.
Amen.
You have access to God no matter what's going on. Some people pray as if their prayers don't matter. There are so many important things going on in the world, and I'm just praying about this little thing over here. But they don't recognize that they're privileged. They have a privileged place in the heart of God that no matter what is going on in heaven, they can burst open in the doors and say, Daddy, look at this picture I drew. And he turns it over and spins at it and looks at it. That's beautiful. What is it? Right? I love those. I get those all the time. And I think a little kid thinks whatever's on their mind in the moment is the most important thing on the planet. No matter, I have this happen, no matter who I'm talking to, whatever. Daddy, Daddy, look right there, there's a square. Okay, honey, that's awesome. Like, there's just something about you recognizing you have a privileged place in the heart of God that's so important. You're royalty. You're not a slave.
That's right. That's good.
This is important for evangelism, because evangelism, we're not inviting people into slavery. We're inviting them into royalty. But we can't do that if we don't know we are ourselves. We'll just replicate what we are. We'll invite them into another form of bondage instead of invite them into a family.
Yeah.
Just a thought. So the more you know your love, the more you can give it away. The world needs to meet lovers. He sees you. He'll never leave you. And you're privileged in the house of God. This doesn't mean everything goes your way all the time and everybody likes you and life's always easy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that those things are what you encounter with his love instead of looking at those things trying to find his love in it. That's the difference, because when you face them and you walk into those things with his love, then the kingdom that's in you can change what's outside of you.
Yeah.
But if you're encountering those things trying to see if God can prove his love to you in those things, you're actually separating yourself from the one who can help you.
That's right.
And we forget that God doesn't owe us anything. We live entitled lives and we're missing the gospel.
Good word.
Just because he works things out for our good doesn't mean he owes it to us. He died for us to know that we're valuable.
Amen.
Everything else is lived from that place instead of to it.
Amen.
So what God wants to do in areas of evangelism is to raise up lovers. Not performers, not employees, not people that have their outreach button and they go and click on it, put the stamp in. Okay, I'm on evangelism duty now. I go and do it, and then I'll clock out later on.
Right.
So something about evangelism where it becomes like a job. And I go out on evangelism every Thursday night. Hallelujah. The rest of the week, I don't think about it.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have my evangelism job spot on Thursday night. That's when I do it. The truth is, you never knew what was going to happen when Jesus showed up. And now he's in you.
Yeah.
The more intimate with him you are, the less will be understood what's going to happen when you show up.
Let me out.
Because you're not a performer. You're a lover. Someone who is loved and just gives it away. Now, is it bad to do Thursday outreach? Absolutely not. Don't hear something about saying. I think we should do outreaches together. We should reach out to community. We can do more in a group than we can individually. I think it's fun, it's powerful, it spurs us on. But if that's the only thing we do, then we're becoming employees of heaven. And God doesn't want to be your boss. He wants to be your father. That means he'll tell you what to do, but it also means he's crazy in love with you.
Amen.
I hope today makes sense, but this is
the
starting place. If we don't get this, if we're not good receivers of God's love, then we're not going to represent it well.
Yes.
Amen.
Because people don't just catch what we say, they catch what we carry. And we need to be carriers of the fragrance of Christ. The love.
Amen.
People need to meet Christians who know they're loved and can love them. All right. As I close today out, I want to ask you to stand. Do you guys have any announcements or things you need to do before? Okay, cool. Do you guys stand to your feet, please? If I was a pastor, I'd turn this into a several-part series, but I got to cram it into one day here. But So I'm saying that to say thank you for your patience. I was trying to tell a joke, but anyway. I want to say an overall prayer for you guys in honor of your time. But before I do that, I want to ask you to close your eyes for just a minute, because I don't know why you're here or where you came from. And maybe you're in this place and you're like, I don't really know if I'm right with God. I didn't even know that God loves me, or how you found yourself here. Somebody invited you, or you're walking through the woods. This place is really deep in the woods. So I don't know. You wouldn't find yourself here by accident. So whatever your reason for being here, I just want to ask you, if you're not right with God, meaning, I'm not talking about you had a bad week, but you know, you're not walking with Him, but you want to be. You want to get things right with Him. You want to draw that line in the sand and say, Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life and fulfill the purpose I was made for, live in the love that you've shown for my life. I want to invite you to let me know that's what you want to do by raising your hand in just a moment. Not yet, but just a moment, because I want to make sure that you understand that what I'm asking you to do is ask Jesus to be in charge of your life. The Bible says that if you confess Jesus as your Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll enter into the family of God and start the journey of the purpose that you were made for. Jesus told His disciples, come and follow Me and I'll make you into fishers of men. He's talking to some fishermen. He has a purpose for your life, and He's saying, come and follow Me and I'll make you into something. And I don't know where you're at, but if you want to get things right with God today and you're not, you guys could all know each other. I don't know, but I don't. So before we close out the service here, I'm going to count to three. And if you're here and you say, you know, I need to get things right with God today. And again, I'm not saying you just had a bad week, but you know you're not walking with Him, but you want to. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. With everybody's eyes closed, just for a moment. Only if you're serious about it. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Okay. Good. You can put your hands down. What I'm going to do is we're drawing the line in the sand and saying, God, I want to get things straight. I want to really follow after You. And some people raise their hands, and I want to pray with you, because how we get things right with God is by talking to Him. That's what it means to confess Him, is to talk to Him. You confess Jesus as Lord. And to help you talk with God about this, I'm going to lead everyone here in a prayer. I want everyone to pray with me. And what that looks like is I'm going to say a few words and then everyone repeat what I say. But especially those that raise your hand, I want you to turn your focus on God and mean what you say. Because it's not a magic formula. It's just talking to God. All right. So let's all pray together this way. God, I come to You.
God, I come to You.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I thank You for Jesus.
I thank You for Jesus.
I draw the line in the sand.
I draw the line in the sand.
And I cross over it today.
And I cross over it today.
I want You.
I want You.
I want Your life for me.
I want Your life for me.
I want Your purpose for me.
I want Your purpose for me.
I ask You to forgive me.
I ask You to forgive me.
For anything I've done wrong.
For anything I've done wrong.
I give You my past.
I give You my past.
I give You my present.
I give You my present.
I give You my future.
I give You my future.
I believe that Jesus came.
I believe that Jesus came.
He lived a perfect life.
He lived a perfect life.
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
And He raised Him from the dead.
And He raised Him from the dead.
I confess today.
I confess today.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
I ask You, God.
I ask You, God.
To help me.
To help me.
Know what it means.
Know what it means.
To know You for myself.
To know You for myself.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
My Savior.
My Savior.
And my best friend.
And my best friend.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible tells us that if you meant what you prayed, then He received your prayer. Amen. and you can start growing in a relationship with God. If I would recommend, we wrote the basics in 21 days to help get that started, and so you can take a look at that if you want to. But what I want to do here is I close out with everybody else. I'm going to take a second, I'm going to look at all of you in the eye, and I'm going to do this quick because I can already hear the desire for fried chicken growing in the room. Maybe some grilled, some kind of a grilled barbecue. I don't know, I can feel it moving. All right. So what I'm going to do here, in honor of your guys' time, one of the things the Lord is having me do is look at people as his representative and let them know that he sees them. You know, I can't pray on you to know that you're loved. If I could, I would. But thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit that the Bible says sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God.
Amen. Amen.
So he's really good at it.
Yes, he is.
One of the things he wants you to know is you're not a face in the crowd. You're not just a random person. He sees you.
That's right.
And so I want everybody to look this way. It's going to be the weirdest ending to a service you've ever had. It's weird people manifesting is actually looking at somebody in their eyeballs. I want you to look at me because I want to look at you as a representative of Christ. And I want to speak to you on his behalf because he wants you to know that he sees you. And I want to speak that to you in his name. So friend, I see you. 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 God sees you, and when you know that you're seen, it changes everything. You're not a face in the crowd. Everywhere you go, God is there, and I don't say that as a threat.
Yeah.
He's there because he wants to be. You're never, ever, ever, ever alone. And my prayer is that the truth of his presence in your life would move past an abstract understanding into a deep, deep knowledge where we live from his love, because that's the only way we're going to be able to give it away. Father, I seal what you've done here, and I thank you for their hearts and allowing me to be weird and to just go on this journey here together. I ask that you would fill them fresh with your Spirit. God, I thank you for people getting their lives right with you today. And I thank you for people getting their hearts aligned with truth. I pray for a love explosion in this region. Amen. It's not our job to make people get saved, but we can really see people loved. Empower us to love hell out of this region, God.
Amen.
Where it's really hard to not know that you're real and that you love people. Thank you. Thank you for an infection of love out of this house. We seal it. We thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. Thank you for gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing through this place and about to do. Yes. And I thank you that we're not performers. We're not employees. But we matter to you. You love us, and it's not our fault. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.